Hallelujah. 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 Haribasu.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hey, praise ye the Lord. Is anybody in the house? Come on, join me and welcome His Excellency. Give Him all the glory. That you are here, that I am here, is by His grace and His mercy. Great is He. He's awesome in this place. The Lord be the glory. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. The Lord be glorified. The Lord be magnified. There's none like Him. Before Him there's none. After Him there be none. He's the first. He's the last. And is everything in between. In Him we move, in Him we live, in Him we have our being. He's before all things. All things consist by Him. There isn't anything that is without Him. Even the earth, even the sun gets its shine from the Lord. I said the sun gets its shine from the Lord. He commanded and it stood fast. He commanded the seas. And He said, behold, this is your habitation, hitherto and no further, and it was so forevermore. He's commanded the sun. He commanded us the ocean. He commanded the sun. He said, rule, rule. Your place is in the day. And He commanded it and it stood fast. He commanded the moon. He said, your place is in the night. And it was so. And it is so to this day. And every promise that He signed, that He sealed in His blood is for you and for me to appropriate by reason of the blood. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You. We exalt You. We appreciate You for Your love that binds us together. We thank You for the blood that gives us a place and a position among the elect. We thank You for the blood of Jesus that gives us access to the throne of grace and mercy by reason of the blood. Wherefore, Lord, we invoke the blood of Jesus upon this service today, that Your name may be lifted up above all else, in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Father, Lord. All glory to You, honor, praise, majesty unto You that lives forever and ever and ever. And everybody said, and everybody said, praise ye the Lord. I know our time is fast spent, but you know what? We cannot shortchange Him. That's all He requires from us, is the praises of His people. And we say, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. Hallelujah. Hallelujhah. Break thou the bread of life to us this day, as thou didst break the loaves, beside the sea. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to see Amara and the wife back all the way from Nigeria. Praise the Lord. And I see my angels in the house. Amen. Those are my angels. You see them over there? All those little ones. Those are my angels. And it's an honor and a privilege, ladies and gentlemen, to present to you a dear friend. You know, there are people who, when we meet, the history that binds us together, you cannot tell it all. Ladies and gentlemen, all the way from Spain, my friend, my brother, and your brother, Bola Aluromolaro, welcome. You know, we have known each other, I think we're 17, 18 years old. If I pray in the name of Jesus that some of our younger folks, as we go into this world, you have friends that are believers, that whether come the rain, high waters, the mountains or the valleys, you can rest assured, whether they're in South America, whether they're in Switzerland, whether they're in Yugoslavia, amen, they will stand for the word. Amen. Can you say hello to the church? Hey,
thank you. Wow. Praise God. Praise Jesus. Well, it's my pleasure to be here today. I was supposed to be in Phoenix for a business meeting as I was preparing in Spain. And the Lord said, you know, it's time to go and see your brothers. And I'm thinking, well, which brothers are those? Because I have a lot of them in different places. And the name GMI came to mind. So I turned to my wife and I said, do you know where GMI is? She said, well, they used to be up north somewhere in Phoenix, but I don't know. You better call somebody. So I texted my brother, Yato, and I said, we call each other a Yusko. I don't know how many of you know the meaning of that. A Yusko. Well, it's a term of endearment. You know, people that you love, that you know, that will always stand. We joke between ourselves, and we say, you know, that thread that links you to the cross, how strong is it? You know, that thread that I was telling him this morning, I said, there's no nuclear explosion that can break that thread. In fact, now it is a chain. It is a chain that nothing can ever break. And I just want to exhort you today. I'm really, really grateful and thankful that the Lord led me here today just to see the wonderful things that he's been doing through his children. And you have a great opportunity here to do something great in Phoenix. And I tell you, you know, we lived in Phoenix, then we moved to France for 10 years, then we came back to Phoenix for 7, now we're back in Spain. And there is such a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. And, you know, the Lord has so many people yet to come to the gospel. And that's what he has called each and every one of us to. And by the way, you know what? We are the greatest testimonies how we live. Because see, people cannot see what you believe. They can only see what you do. So what God is calling us to is to live a life that everyone will look at and say, I want to be like that guy. I want what he has. In fact, the best sermon you could ever preach is one that you preach without saying a word. You don't have to say anything. If people cannot see something in you that attracts them to God, something is wrong. You should have an aura of God around you that people will smell that odor, that fragrance, and they will come to you and say, what is it that's different about you? There's something different. That is the best sermon you could ever preach, my brethren. And I just thank God to see all of you here today. And it is my privilege to be here with my brother. And I always call him Petey Pete. He would never be any different. I told him, I said, Peter, you look the same. You look exactly the same. I said, remember? And he said, that's God's grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise thank you, the Lord. Thank you, Bola. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Through it all. Through it all. The Lord has been good. Today, Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2. You see, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search it out.
The glory of God to conceal a matter. The honor of kings to search it out. Deuteronomy 29:29 said, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. My message today, I have a lot of kids who will be graduating, and this is a sound, it's a trumpet call to a lot of them. And if it splatters on you, take it. Alcohol, not for kings. That's how I love my message. Alcohol, not for kings. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 through 6. Exodus 19, 5 through 6. The children of Israel going through the wilderness. Please, I want all my teenage kids to listen real close. And don't go anywhere. Please sit down here. By the grace of God, I'm going to ask the fathers to pray for them as they go to college in the name of Jesus. Because there's so much out there, things that we did not confront, that our children are forced to contend with. I want to thank Sister Bookie, Sister Precious, for an awesome job they did over the weekend expounding the scriptures to these kids. What has made some of us stand on to this day is the value of the word of God that has been instilled in us. If I go to Spain, I can tell you, if I meet Bola anywhere, he'll be trumpeting the calling of God in his life. He'll be trumpeting the soon return of the king and will be living for God. I have no doubt in my mind. I will not find him in a whorehouse. I'll not find him in a beer parlor. I guarantee you that. Because what God has called us unto is beyond that. Praise ye the Lord. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. Said, now therefore, if ye obey, he was talking to Israel. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my commandment, that ye shall be a peculiar people, a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. This is the word God is calling us to today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Lord parallels the journey of the children of Israel through the wilderness, parallels it to the church of today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let's look at it real quick. I'm going to try to abbreviate this, and I'm going to get to call. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 12. So you don't say I'm talking from my head. Okay? That's why we write this. We read these scriptures. Because you go to a lot of places, they tell you fancy stuff that will tickle your ears. But we are not in that business in this church by the name of Jesus. We want to be all that Jesus wants us to be and to be true to the call. Amen. If I know it to the best of my ability, I'm going to pass it on to you. What I don't know, I'll tell you I don't know. And God give us the grace. Praise ye the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Verse 3, and did all eat of the same spiritual meat and did all drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. As they went through the wilderness, the journey, a 40-day journey become 40 years, and the Lord whittled them down until only a few went to the promised land, just like today. We are all looking for the soon appearing of the Lord, and the Lord is waiting. Will he find faith when he comes on the earth? Among his elect. Praise ye the Lord. Brother Emmanuel enunciated something last time he was here. He talked about Solomon, one of the wisest men who lived, who God gave wisdom above all. He searched and searched. And let's hear some of the things he said concerning these things. You may not have, I'm mentioning this for children so that they know. You may not have a challenge in this area, but we are the epistles that our children behold. Praise the Lord. We are the epistles that our children behold. Now, the wisest man who lived, after he searched it all, here are a few things he said concerning alcohol. Proverbs chapter 25, I think it is. Proverbs chapter 25. I'm sorry that we are really apologize for the screen. We apologize for this screen. It's some of those challenges that had we known we have taken care of it. He said, chapter 20, verse 1. He said, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4 to 7. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It's not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Praise ye the Lord. Then we ask a question. But Jesus turned water to wine. Job chapter 2. Am I correct? So what's the big deal? Have you asked yourself sometimes in this church, we do communion, we break it with what? Grape juice. What is it? Why has God left us, so to speak? Is it okay? Is it not okay for us as Christians to drink alcohol? I'm going to approach this thing very carefully and may God give us the understanding in this matter. Praise ye the Lord. In the old times, wine, whether it is fermented or non-fermented, is described as wine. And I'll read scriptures to prove that to you. It was just called wine. When it is fermented, that it has leaven in it. Leaven, yeast, is what makes the sugar turn it into alcohol. Period. I have a lot of doctors here, nurses, that would refuse, and I'm not one of those that will say, well, bro, you are right in this place. Am I right so far? Praise ye the Lord. Then what is leaven? It's the same as yeast. That is what causes the fermentation. Praise the Lord. Now, in Luke chapter 13, 20, 21, and Matthew chapter 13, 33, same thing. He said, he gave the parable of the leaven. And he warned the people. He said, be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees. So he is drawing a parallel of what leaven or yeast does to anything. Let me, the dictionary definition of leaven. A substance, typically yeast, added to dough to make it ferment or rise. In the social senses, or in the social circles, he calls it a perversive influence that modifies or alters a character. Throughout the scripture, leaven is paralleled as to sin. Sin. You say, where do you find that? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 7 through 8. Sin. Am I saying that if you... 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 through 8. It says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be of a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ,
Our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us not keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice, wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In the Old Testament, the Lord commanded them during the Passover feast. He commanded it. He said, take this leaven out of your house for 7 days. Under the penalty of death, you should not have anything like that. He's calling us to a higher calling. If at this point in our Christian faith, in our Christian walk, if the use of alcohol becomes a biggie, then we have all men most to be pitied. Can somebody say amen? We need to purge it out. Let me go ahead. I bring this out because we have our young children who will be going to school. They will be approached. They will see stuff hitherto that you did not see. I know of a man of God sent his kid over here. Now, freedom. She got into stuff unimaginable. That will not be the portion of our children in the name of Jesus. So us as believers, we need to, if there's a gray area, I'm going to read the scripture. If there's a gray area we do not quite understand, let's stay away from it. And alcohol is one area which Christians delve into, drink, and maybe casual and stuff like that. But it's an area, it's a no-go area for those who are called. Jesus has called us to a high. He said, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Kings, we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You say, but he made water into wine. You find out what he did. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I want to read the scripture to us. And please, I'm really sorry this screen is not working so we could have followed it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that same scripture. Let's start at verse 22. If you have your Bible, read it. Say, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. You see, as Christians, we have freedom to do whatever. And I cannot accuse you or say anything. We have freedom to do whatsoever we will. And that is the truth. There is therefore now no condemnation. You are God's child, period. You may pay the consequences for what our actions are, but you know what? He will not disown you, period. My son is by there. No matter what he does, I can't disown him. Maxwell, can you disown your children? No way. They are yours, just like we are the fathers. Praise the Lord. Here, let's go on. It says, verse 24. Let me read that thing. All things are lawful for me. You can go ahead and do it. But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's. Amen? Whatsoever is sold in the shambles that eats, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not, bid you to a feast, go ahead. He said, go. And you are disposed, go. Whatsoever I said before you eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if any man say unto thee, this is offered offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not, for his sake that showed it to you, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He goes to verse 29. It's a conscience, I say, not thine own conscience, but the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I even spoken of? So some things that we have the liberty to do, we can do it. But is it expedient? If what I do down the road might cause my son to go into areas that 10, 15 years, I can't see 10, 15 years the road, what will happen? And he says, oh my God, He saw me drinking a bottle of beer, and he went to test it out. And he checked that he didn't stop. Do you know that the challenges that the kids face today, some of the fathers then attempted stuff that they shouldn't have attempted. The Woodstock, free this and free that, marijuana and the rest of it. Today, the generation of teenagers, they are not just dealing marijuana. Opioid crisis, like, am I correct? They take guns to the school and they do stuff. Why? Because there was a freedom, there was something they saw in the 60s, in the 70s, that their fathers did. And now it's not sufficient. But we, by the grace of God, our children, of them, of the blessed and royal seed of God. Amen? Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I read a scripture in starting. The secret things of God, he wants us to search it out. Let's go ahead. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2-3, Paul admonishes Timothy. He said, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. Amen? Amen? Amen. He did say, that. 1 Timothy 5, 2 and 3. Now, there seems to be a dichotomy. There seems to be, why is Paul saying this, and the wisest man that lives says, don't mess with this stuff. Don't touch it. Because wine, whether it was fermented or not fermented, was called wine in those days. Praise the Lord. Bear with me. I'm going to read the scripture right now. But in the meantime, do me a favor. Let me read what the scientists, a lot of folks here are scientists. I have a doctor here. I have PhDs. Dr. Onye is not here, who is a pediatrician. Let me read what alcohol does in the body. Alcohol affects every organ of the body, but the most dramatic evidence of its disruptive behavior appears in the liver. If liver cells could talk, they would describe alcohol as demanding, egocentric, and disruptive of the liver's efficient way of running its business. In other words, when I say alcohol, I'm talking about the ethanol, whether it's in beer, whether it's in wine, whether it's in wine coolers, I'm just talking of the alcohol content. That's what I'm talking about. That's what we're talking about here. So put it, and I'm saying this to my kids, because you go to school, they say, oh, this wine cooler is cool, it tastes yummy and all what have you. But this is what science is saying. And then after reading what science is saying, I'm going to ask you a question. Would Jesus ingest and cause you to ingest something that's totally disruptive to your body? You answer that question at the end of this. Because the Bible said, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139. Praise ye the Lord. Let me read on. This is what science is saying from scientific journals, books. It says, for example, did you get what I said here? It says that is what the liver would say. For example, liver cells normally prefer fatty acids as their fuel, and they like to package excess fatty acids into triglycerides. And they like to package excess ones, glycerin, and send them to other tissues. When alcohol is present, however, the liver cells metabolize alcohol first. It disrupts everything, metabolizes it first, and let the fatty acids accumulate, sometimes in huge stockpiles. Alcohol metabolism can also permanently change liver cell structure, impairing the liver's ability to metabolize fats. The liver is a primary site of alcohol metabolism. It can process 0.5 ounce of ethanol per hour, the amount defined as a drink.
depending on the person's body size, previous drinking habits, and the like. If more alcohol arrives at the liver than the enzymes can handle, the extra alcohol travels around the body, keeps circulating through every organ again and again until liver enzymes are finally available to process it. One. Two. Alcohol, when it's metabolized, the first product of alcohol metabolism is a product called acetaldehyde, a highly reactive and toxic compound. Two. Three. It disrupts the electronic transport chain. That's how the food and nutrients, how it's turned into energy. It disrupts the whole thing. Four, alcohol metabolism shifts the body's acid base towards acid. Your body becomes more acidic, which is not good. It interferes with the excretion of uric acid, causing inflammation of the joints. Alcohol alters both the amino acids and protein metabolism. Synthesis of protein, important in the immune system, slows down, weakening the body's defense system. That was six. Let me go one more. Are you hearing me so far? Alcohol, its effect on pregnancy. How many women know when they are pregnant? Show of hands. Any, I know no sister. Women who have kids, do you know when you're pregnant? Come on, do you know when you're pregnant? Yeah? We know. The answer is yes. The question is, do you know within 2 weeks if you're pregnant? Most women do not know within 2 weeks when they are pregnant. The most critical stage in the development of the baby is the first trimester. Very critical. In fact, the first 2 weeks, the first system of the body that's developed, that starts developing within 2 weeks, is the nervous system. And alcohol damages. The propensity to damage at such an early stage becomes irreversible. Am I right? Those of us that are here who are very knowledgeable in this, this is the truth. So peradventure you are 2 weeks pregnant and you don't know. You just took a sip of wine and go to sleep. May God help us in Jesus' name. Then I turn around and ask us a question. In John chapter 2, the Lord turning water to wine. Do you think the Lord, seeing what science knows, these are facts. Do you think the Lord would give us alcoholic wine to drink? I say no. Not the God as I serve. He doesn't contradict himself. He's our healer. But we make mistakes. Yes, that young man is preaching. Hallelujah, Royal. He's preaching. Say, brother. But you know, we make mistakes. And we do these things inadvertently. A lot of neurodegenerative diseases that happen in early childhood that's not caught could be this issue. I'm not saying it's all neurodegenerative diseases. FAS. This neural tube is formed within 2 weeks of pregnancy. And most women may not even know they are pregnant. And then they just took a sip of wine and go to take a nap and something happens. May God have mercy on us. Now I'm going to go back to the scriptures. This is what science has to say. In fact, let me read one more thing in the science book. It says alcohol impairs thiamine absorption. It's a B vitamin. And enhances thiamine excretion in the urine, doubling the risk of deficiency during pregnancy. Let me go back to Matthew. Let's read what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 29. I think it is. And then, did I say 29? I beg your pardon. 26. But I say unto you, I will not drink. He was talking about Last Supper. Let's add 28. It's verse 27. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of their sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new. He's talking of new, the new wine. It's not alcoholic. Right from the vine. It's not alcoholic at all. Please, if you contend what I'm saying to you, I beg and I plead with you, make sure you make it to heaven. Have a personal relationship with God so that you can ask him this question face to face. Lord Jesus, did you do this? But I can tell you the God that I serve from the signs that I've put across to us here, he will not give us fermented alcohol to drink. Amen. We see the ramifications here through signs of today, and it's non-disputable. Let me give us a clincher. When I saw this scripture, Isaiah. You see, whether it's alcoholic wine or non-alcoholic wine, it has phytochemicals, flavonoids in it that are good for our body. Okay? Whether it's in the alcoholic form, it doesn't destroy these antioxidants that are in them. Am I right, Doc? It doesn't destroy it. So, boy, see, it's so easy for us to get wine today. It's a lot easier to get wine today in the corner store than a loaf of bread. How many of us know that? Go to any corner store, it's a lot easier. So there are children are contending with something that you and I didn't contend with. Let us set the record straight. Can somebody say amen? Isaiah 65, verse 8. When I saw this, I screamed. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in where the cluster. The new wine is found what? In the cluster. The grape juice. It is not alcoholic. Right there. Praise ye the Lord. And Matthew chapter 26 that we read, what did he say? He said, well, I'll not drink of this. I'll drink of the new wine. So I can tell you categorically that the wine that the Lord gave them was non-alcoholic brew in the name of Jesus. It is non-alcoholic brew. If you think otherwise, you are still my brother. It doesn't matter. Amen. You are still my brother. It doesn't matter. We'll make it to heaven. And I will make it to heaven. Praise ye the Lord. We are marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. God has made us kings and priests. He told the priests, he said, don't touch it. In Exodus, we should read as Exodus chapter, I think it's Exodus chapter 20. Let me see my notes here. Where he told the children of Israel, he said, Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 10. He told the children of Israel, under the penalty of death, he said, don't bring that during the feast. If they had leaven in their house, they could be killed. But we thank God that the Lord is merciful. Praise ye the Lord. That's the end of my message. If you misunderstood me, I still love you anyway. The beauty of what Jesus has done for us is this. We should love one another. If you may have differences, for God so loved that he gave. Please, I want all my kids who will be going, the teenagers, I want you to come here. I'm going to ask that we still stand up and pray for us, those that are moving on to college and what have you. All my teenagers who are moving on to college, you want to come up here? If all of you just come up here and I want the church to please rise. Because seriously, they are contending with what we did not contend with. Yeah, am I right, bro?
They are contending with stuff we did not contend with. They are going through school and the teachers are teaching them stuff that is not in the word. Amen? Hallelujah. I want the church to please rise up. Stretch your hands towards these teenagers. That God's, you can just sit up front here. We are fathers and the words that we speak, their spirit and their life, they will do according to what we command it. When Jacob blessed his children, every word that he said to them came to pass. And every word that we speak to these children will not fall to the ground in the name of Jesus. Because I would hate for any of these children down the road to mess with alcohol because they saw me drinking. One day I was going somewhere and somebody said, please send me guys a six-pack of beer. I said, me? Suppose one of my kids see me with a six-pack of beer, what are you going to say? Seriously? They said, Pastor, Peter is a hypocrite. I said, I'm going to ask my brother to please pray for these children as we all stretch our hands towards them.
Thank you very much. Please stand up and say a prayer for these kids. They contend with more than we contend.
Father, Lord Jesus, we just thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord, because you are here, Lord. You said where two or three are gathered together, you are here. And we welcome the Holy Spirit this morning. We thank you for this message. We thank you because this message is from you. And Lord, you said you have given us, Lord, these children, Lord, that we should raise them in the ways that you have taught us. And so, Father, this morning, we want to commit each and every one of them into your hand this morning, Lord. Father, we're living in difficult times, dangerous times. But we know, Father, that everyone that is in your hand is in safe hands. So we place them all in your hand this morning. Every single one of them, Father, that those of them, Lord, that have not known you, that do not have a personal relationship with you, Lord, Father, that you begin that process in the name of Jesus. And that you give them the strength, Lord, to be able to, Lord, to stand up against the enemy, to resist the enemy. Father, that you give them the grace, Lord, that they will be able, Father, to be examples, to be leaders, Lord, as they go out, bringing glory to your name. Father, that you protect them from evil, that you let your presence, Lord, be around them, that you let them, Lord, be ambassadors of your name, that you let the gospel, Lord, let it follow them everywhere they go. Father, that you let your presence, Lord, let it be around them. Let them draw others unto you. As they lift you up, Lord, draw all others unto you. Father, we thank you because we know that you have heard our prayer. We know that you have heard us because we've asked in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. And everybody said? And everybody said? Are you still my friend? Hallelujah. I love you too. Praise the Lord. And my angels who always love me anyway. Praise the Lord. You can please be seated. We're going to ask if the ushers could please.